CliffCentral.com.
All right, David Bowie with Starman. That's a live recording that was done in, what year was that, 1972? None of us even existed at that point. Well, some of us did, but I wasn't there. You weren't there.
Yeah.
Sia. Mubs wasn't there.
Mm-mm.
Ben was in. Ben was mentally there in 1972. He still hankers for those years. All righty. It's just after 7. We've got some news to get to. We're also going to speak to a South African champion. You know what tumbling is, right? Part of gymnastics.
Yeah, that's as far as that's the way it goes with me. I know that much.
So this is someone called Bianca Zunikant. She is a South African tumbling champion. And 2 weeks ago, she won the bronze medal for South Africa at the World Cup in, guess where?
Sweden.
Azerbaijan.
Excuse me now?
Yeah, what a country.
Is that a real place?
Yeah, it's a real place.
That's a country.
Yeah. And she represented South Africa in the World Games in Colombia 2013. She finished sixth 2014, the Trampoline World Championships in the USA, where she claimed sixth again. And then she turned up the power, and she got the bronze medal, which means she came third. No, it's not bad.
Azerbaijan,
yeah.
Oh, okay. It's right next to the Kardashian country. Got it.
Armenia.
Yeah, okay. That's my only
next to, right next to Kardashian.
All right. And, you know, we'll talk to her just to catch up on what exactly this trampoline and tumbling stuff is all about, because it's amazing to watch. And if you look any of it up on the internet, and you can find loads of YouTube clips of her doing her thing, it's very impressive to see. But before we get to that, what's in the news? What do we need to know?
Well, PricewaterhouseCoopers eventually did come forward, you know, yesterday to say that they're taking full responsibility for that Oscar error. They released a whole statement, Gareth, you know, saying that they sincerely apologize to basically to everyone. They apologize to Moonlight, to
the
La La
universe,
Land,
yeah.
To Warren Beatty, to Faye Dunaway, to the Oscar viewers. They said that the presenters had mistakenly been given the wrong category envelope, and that when they discovered that, they immediately tried to correct it. And they say that they are currently investigating how the wrong envelope was handed to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. But yes.
Well, a bunch of people sent me this clip of Aussie Man, you know, the guy who takes important clips off the internet, and he just dubs his own voice into them and tells the story. Mm. And you could pretty much picture what went on, because everybody's been talking about it for the last 24 hours. But here he is commentating on Wazza, which is Warren Beatty, and Dunsey, that's Faye Dunaway.
Finally, it is time for Best Picture. Wazza and Dunsey are going to announce the winner. Two screen legends, but let's not lie, it is past their bedtime. Wazza appears to double-check the envelope. Dunsey is like, stop being a dodgy bastard. Building suspense is so 1990. But yeah, now Wazza triple-checks the envelope. Finally, Dunsey says, just fucking read it. I reckon Wazza knows it's a trap, so he gives it to her. La La Land, she yells. No regrets. The cast and crew start celebrating. They can't believe they've won. Neither can I. Hacksaw Ridge, Lion, Moonlight, we're all far superior movies. They start talking about their dreams, their parents, the Hollywood community. I reckon God will get a shout out. Oh no, there's a wanker with a headset lurking in the background. That is never a good sign. Meanwhile, Dunsey is having second thoughts over what she read. Wazza doesn't give a fuck. He's committed to the narrative. Finally, the producer says, yeah, nah, it was actually Moonlight that won. See, here's the fucking correct piece of paper. The Academy cinematographer goes in for a tight close-up. Now everyone's wondering, was this the work of the Russians? Is it Donald Trump? Is Warren Beatty an old racist? No, he's definitely not. Is Faye Dunaway? Maybe. Nah. Steve Harvey is the prime suspect. Or Matt Damon. He looks fucking guilty. Anyway, all the world's greatest actors in one room together, and they couldn't read Wazza's body language, indicating something was fucked up from the outset.
And that's a basic summary from Aussie Man, who's great.
But when you watch it again, you can see Warren Beatty's just trying to say that Faye Dunaway, they've given us the wrong envelope. And she's like, yeah, we read it. She just does not pick up on him whatsoever. I thought that's what actors were meant to do. They were meant to engage with each other.
I will have to say that the articles, what you see on Twitter, does not give the entire moment justice. So I went home and I rewatched it because I'd recorded the Oscars.
Yeah.
Just fast forward right to that moment. Oh,
was
my
God. Was it even more embarrassing to see it happen in real time?
Perfection. The buildup of everything. Because, you know, La La Land team come up and then they start doing all these poignant, you know, speeches and, oh, this is my life and this is my dream. Amazing. But you start to see their eyes dart around the room awkwardly because, you know, a moment isn't going well when a guy with a headset comes onto stage.
Sure.
You know something is up there.
Yeah.
So we know what happened. And then when Moonlight comes on, you know, to accept it, you, they start to go through their speeches, but they go like, we still don't know whether this is real or not, but we'd like to say thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And I do feel like this is still a prank, but we'd really like to thank the Academy. It is amazing.
So I now officially have two favorite tweets. So I told you about the Miss Universe one where they said, we've done this before, give us a call. And then Steve Harvey tweeted, went to bed early last night, missed the Oscars. What did I miss? So he's also just getting his own back in there.
Well, President Trump got into the entire mess as well.
Uh-oh.
Of course. He can't be left out.
He has now declared that he's basically so disappointed in the way everything rolled out. He says, I think they were focused so hard on politics that they didn't get their act together at the end. It was a little sad. It took away from the glamour of the Oscars. It didn't feel like a glamorous evening. I've been to the Oscars. There was something very special missing. And to end that way was sad.
He put all of that in 140 characters?
Oh, no. Well, this is now an
Good
interview.
Lord.
He actually had, you know. So, well,
okay.
Yeah, President of Petty as well, getting into
Definitely.
It.
Definitely. Can't resist a tweet at midnight.
Well, they literally were tweeting him during the Oscars as well. That was like a little
Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel sent him a tweet at like midnight and said, at real Donald Trump, are you up?
And then another one with hashtag Meryl says hi.
That's great. All right, so there's finally we have a real mystery that's much more important than who killed John F. Kennedy or whether there are aliens.
Yeah.
Whether Bigfoot exists is what really happened at the Oscars.
Well, Pricewaterhouse say it's all completely their fault that they're going to do further investigations. That means somebody's going to be, like, fired.
Oh, yeah, what's the bet that there's a new auditing firm next year?
Yeah.
But you got to think, like, you audit companies, right? Like Enron and all these other big people. All they have to do in this job is hand someone an envelope.
Mm.
It doesn't get any easier. This is like Ferrari's F1 pit crew basically showing Lucas how to get into Midnight Mystery. Like, I still don't know how someone, I mean, they spent so much money to get auditors. We could have worked this out yesterday.
You don't need to be a genius.
It's so funny how corporate like this doesn't want to get involved in any sort of scandal and they don't know how to deal with it. So the guy who actually walked onto stage, I think his name is Brian Cullinan from PwC. He's now been instructed to delete any sort of social media
about
the Oscars.
This is the problem with these big corporations. They're so busy trying to be perfect that we all stop trusting them. And this is for a firm that needs trust. Above all, admit that what Mubs has said now is that's exactly the way to go. Just admit you've made a mistake. Don't tell the guy to climb off social media and stop trying to sanitize everything. The fact that you're a big corporation doesn't make you any better or worse than an individual human being who makes mistakes. You made a mistake. Big deal. Move on. Admit it and be normal about it. Don't try and sanitize things.
But don't you think the nature of social media and the kind of spotlight and attention that it throws companies into, it's almost made them feel overwhelmed by when the likes of Twitter like start ripping them a new one, and then they think like, damage control, delete all tweets, da-da-da-da-da. I think that companies genuinely become overwhelmed as soon as, you know, social media goes after them and attacks them or turns them into memes.
If Donald Trump is the president of the United States and nobody can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you even he can't believe it. What companies could learn from this is that the more you are willing to be you, the more like authenticity is everything these days, the more likely people are to actually swerve your way and end up becoming clients of yours or supporters of yours. I sometimes bump into people who talk to me about what we do at cliffcentral.com, and they're so afraid of venturing into the uncensored world of no PR and no spin and no bullshit that they would prefer to go into the traditional media world where everything is boring and sanitized and clinical and dull. There's no color there. Then take a chance at having an honest conversation on a platform like this. You know, there are clients who are brave enough to do this. There are people who've advertised with us over the past 2.5-3 years that have shown they have the balls to be associated with a brand like ours. And those are the ones who are going to win. It's obvious that you won't win if you stick to the traditional.
Exactly.
But there are still companies out there who are terrified, who are going to keep doing what they've always done instead of take a chance on something like us. Hey, listen, do you want to hear from our tumbling champion?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go and find out some things that we don't know. I mean, you know, when it comes to this stuff, I'm an idiot.
Well, I think we all have a certain understanding of tumbling, and it's quite little.
All right, that's exactly right. Bianca Zunikind is on the line, South African tumbling champion. Hey, listen, first of all, well done on that bronze medal.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, tumbling, explain it to an idiot like me who understands zero about tumbling, except that it looks cool on YouTube.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's pretty complicated to tell you. I'm sure you've seen the videos, though.
Yeah.
So you start at the end of the track, and you have a 11-meter run-up, and you stand there, and you get ready, and you think to yourself, what am I actually doing? And then you kind of just run, and you've got to flip down the track. So you got 8 elements you got to do, and hopefully you get to the end and finish on your feet.
Listen, I think it's amazing because you have to obviously, I mean, you've just made it sound really, really simple, and you make it look even more simple, and I've seen some of your videos on YouTube, but it's really hard. You've got to have your balance and your coordination almost at a superhuman level. You have to be able to move and flex and stretch parts of your body that the rest of us we'd be in a wheelchair if we had to try and do that once, let alone over and over again like you.
Yeah.
You have to start young, right?
You don't always have to start young. We have like really old people come in and like do it like in a whole adult class and stuff. But better if you start young, definitely.
So what is for you the most challenging thing about this? Is it consistency? Is it being able to deliver time again and time again? Or is it a question of physical fitness and just practice, practice, practice?
Well, in the sport, like it's a mental thing as well, like a lot of mental, like it's just doing and mostly mental and like going over things over and over again. Like we try to do like repetition of routines as much as we can, but it's a very demanding sport on your body and stuff. So like it's tough to like try to do your routines over and over and over again all the time. And obviously sometimes it does get boring repeating the same thing over and over, but like coaches don't always understand that. So it's definitely tough to like try to do the same thing over and to perfect it when you never know what's going to happen in a competition. And also there's like different like elements, like your tumbling tracks are often different, like no one tumbling track is the same. So you just got to hope that you get a good one when you get to a competition.
Well, I'm amazed. I mean, it always requires of me a stretch of imagination more than anything else to see someone doing something that is this complicated in a physical sense and to imagine that it's possible for any of us to learn it. I think that these are talents that you either have or you don't. I mean, did you know you wanted to do this kind of thing when you were young? Is it something that you showed a kind of proficiency for before you'd even learnt the skills?
So my mom's my coach, and that made things a little bit easier for me. I was in the gym every single day of my life, and my brother's also was an international gymnast and stuff. So yeah, it made things easier for me, and I don't want to do the normal boring sports like cricket or like rugby or like,
right.
like that. Like I wanted to, I'm different. Like I enjoy different. So tumbling a trampoline to me is very different. There isn't many people that can do the things that I'm doing. So it's like, they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, no, gymnastics. And they're like, oh, wow, you know. Like, it's completely different to like, oh, you do cricket or like soccer or something.
But you must have, I mean, I've seen, again, I've seen your YouTube clips, but you must have the most amazing body in terms of physical fitness. You can't have a whole bunch of fat, and you've got to be like able to move in ways that the rest of us just can't.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So you're a superior human being. I mean, own it.
Yeah, sometimes I try.
What is the worst kind of injury that you have sustained?
Probably my broken hand.
Oh,
yeah.
That
I broke my hand on an exercise ball playing around.
Oh, so it wasn't even while you were like competing or training, it was you were just playing around.
Yeah. That is pathetic. You should be embarrassed.
But like, Bianca, out of all the sort of gymnastic disciplines, this one, the more you look at it, this is like the Evel Knievel of gymnastics. Like, so much can go wrong here because you're going at great speeds. Like, did you ever consider maybe the beam or like the ball or something else? I mean, there's so many different things you could have gone for.
Yeah, no, like we were talking about it this weekend, actually. Like, if they asked if I have a child, like, what would I put my child into? And you look and you're like, well, if your child is a daredevil, like, hanging off the walls and stuff, definitely tumbling and trampolining. If they're like a fairy and that sort of thing and like very flexible, send them to rhythmic. If they're like very determined, like willing to work very hard, dedicated, then artistic's the one for them. But like, if they're wild and rough and tough, trampoline and tumbling, definitely all the way.
Is this your way of saying you were an unruly youth? You were just all over the place. Okay.
Listen, she spends half of her life in the sky. I mean, you're not even fixed to the earth most of the time. The rest of us are used to gravity. You kind of defy gravity at every opportunity.
Yeah, definitely on my hands most of the time.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's amazing to talk to you, and congratulations on that medal. And I know that this is the culmination of many years of work, but it's not the end. I mean, this for you is in so many ways just the start of the next chapter, because now you want to go for gold, right?
Definitely. I'm excited to go for gold.
Yeah, you better win, because, of course, you're not going to get any money from SASCOC anytime soon. You have to do this all on your own.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm looking for, like, to be brand ambassadors for anyone who needs them. Right. Like, I'm up for that.
Right. Line up all you corporations who want to sponsor a winner.
Yeah, definitely working hard always, eh?
All right. Listen, nice to talk to you, Bianca.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great.
What a pleasure. It's nice to talk to someone outside of those usual sports and hear about how it works for you. Awesome. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, very good. There we go. That's Bianca Zuniken. She's the South African tumbling champion. And what an interesting sport to be involved in.
I was just watching tumbling videos while she was talking. It is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how she hasn't broken her ankle.
That's what I was thinking.
Her ankle. Neck.
I just thought that was a great question, because you look at all this and the stress and strain in your joints.
Yeah.
Because you do like double backflips into front turns or whatever. That's impact, right?
On your ankles, your knees, your hips.
It just shows that some people are made for certain things. And even though it looks crazy, there's nothing else they can do. Like nothing.
I know a lot of people are tired of the Oscars talk, but I just saw the PricewaterhouseCoopers groveling apology. You never heard. I mean, you'd swear that they'd committed genocide on every actor in history. Listen to this. PwC, this is their actual written apology. I'm going to read you now. This is not made up. This is not some kind of satire. Okay? You would think that they had spread Ebola virus all over America. Listen to this apology. By the way, let's just remember, this was all about a stupid award for a stupid movie where people make believe for a living. The Oscars, the least important thing for ordinary people in the universe. PwC takes full responsibility for the series of mistakes and breaches of established protocols during last night's Oscars. I mean, Trump wouldn't apologize like this if he hit the red button on the nukes. PwC partner Brian Cullinan mistakenly handed the backup envelope for actress in a leading role instead of the envelope for Best Picture to presenters Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. Once the error occurred, protocols for correcting it were not followed through quickly enough by Mr. Cullinan or his partner.
Damn it.
We are deeply sorry for the disappointment suffered by the cast and crew of La La Land and Moonlight. Because, of course, they're slitting their wrists right now. None of the people in those two movies can believe their luck that they're actually doing work in a make-believe industry like this. But let's go back to PwC. We sincerely apologize to Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway, Jimmy Kimmel, ABC, and the Academy. I mean, because all of them are slitting their wrists right now. None of whom was at fault for last night's errors. We wish to extend our deepest gratitude to each of them for the graciousness they displayed during such a difficult moment. For the past 83 years, the Academy has entrusted PwC with the integrity of the awards process during the ceremony. And last night, we failed the Academy. PwC. Well, if I had any business with PricewaterhouseCoopers right now, I'd cancel it just on the basis that they're actually writing apologies like that.
Honestly,
you pathetic, pathetic company.
Like, for me, things like this and instructing whether they did or didn't, or, you know, whether it was Brian Cullinan's own decision to delete his social media post regarding the Oscars, for me, that just says, like, you aren't in touch with what is happening. And it's almost like you think we're fools, basically. Oh, yeah. Okay, if we delete 3 posts about you at the Oscars, people will just forget, you know? Yeah. Come on.
Grow up. Roscoe says, with regard to the Oscars, Emma Stone said she was holding her Best Actress envelope on stage when La La Land won. So where did that envelope come from? Well, they have
a backup.
Yeah. Backup one. Gavin wants to know, when is Michael back? Michael Flax? Well, why don't you just tweet him? I don't know. I don't know any more than you, Gavin. He doesn't work here anymore. He went on a sabbatical, and we've been talking to him about coming in to explain how his sabbatical's going. He said he's not ready, so you find out for me. Anushka says, I'm so happy to hear Anthea's views on the Bidvest Services growth. Work in the facilities management division, and we are making major moves this year. Watch the space. Okay, Anushka, that's nice to know. Alma Fudd would like to know if he could order some rabbit fillets. From Lucas, how much is it per kilo, and is it frozen and deboned?
Do we really want to have any business dealings with Alma Fudd?
How does Alma Fudd talk? I'm going into like a Kennedy impersonation.
Yeah, you did.
I want a widow rabbit.
That's Alma Fudd.
Same.
I love widow rabbits.
Do you want to lose your faith in humanity just a little bit more?
Go on.
Okay, since we've already sort of side-eyed PwC, you know our favorite, you know, I don't even want to call her Danielle anymore. How about Cash Me Outside, girl?
Oh, that girl? Yeah, yes. Cash Me Outside, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because calling her Danielle is so, like, you know, normal. We don't like normal here. Folks, she is now making a living, you know, in only the most 21st century way from her viral video.
They've given her a reality TV show.
Nope. But she is kind of very savvy business-minded. I will not take the option of a reality show out of the equation. But she's now selling souvenirs and memorabilia with her face on it. Case in point, wouldn't you like to snuggle in a little Cash Me Outside blanket with her face on it?
Because you're too streetwise?
Yup. And all these hoes laughing like so funny. Talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep. Cash me outside, how about that?
That's the famous line, cash me outside, how about that?
Two
so she's selling merchandise?
Yeah. Two things just to remind you there. A, she is white. She's 13 years old when that was recorded and aired. So she's selling a blanket, for example, for just a mere $250.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nothing personal, it's just business. And then people are actually paying her for appearances.
Did you ever hear about what happened when she went back on Dr. Phil?
Mm-mm.
Because she did go back after she became famous, and she roasted Phil by saying, "You were nothing before I came on this show."
Oh, okay. Okay.
Here she is telling Dr. Phil off.
"I guess what's good for you is I made you just like how Oprah made you. You were nothing before I came on this show. You were nothing before I came on this show."
How's that?
Well, it's stupid, firstly, because Oprah made him. So how can he be nothing if Oprah made him?
She's an idiot, Ben.
Complete and utter.
I really do feel like we're losing brain cells just talking about her. But the mere fact that she's now being paid $30,000 for appearances.
But don't panic, Sia. It's not going to last long. By 2018, you will not remember this woman even exists.
We'll have to cash her outside.
We will, because she'll be out in the dumpster fishing for scraps.
This is what happens when the internet convinces you that you are more important than you actually are.
But there are people who are paying her for this, though.
Them too.
Like, there are people who are buying a blanket for $250, and now a local meet and greet is $30,000. And then if it's outside of the US, she charges
outside
the US, it's $40,000. Like,
who wants to meet her though?
I don't
All right,
know.
Mubs, just say that line again. This is what happens. Go on.
This is what happens when the internet convinces you that you're more important than you actually are. This is why people love attention, because it rewards them in these kinds of ways. That's why everybody is clamoring at being the next big thing on the internet. Because they know it comes with these kinds of rewards.
Right.
Kasha Asar.
How about that?
All
right, here she is. Listen to Dr. Phil. I just love the way that he handles it.
Tell me about Turnabout Ranch.
It's a program.
Yeah. How did you do there?
Fine.
What was your favorite?
She went to this ranch where she got, rehabilitated because she was such a problem. And by the way, she looks like shit on the show. She really does. It's like white trash of the worst kind.
Part of it.
Chief.
Yeah. You like the horse? Say, how did you think she did?
I thought she did very well. I really saw a difference in the way that she was acting, but also the way that...
He's the admissions director at the Turnabout Ranch. So it helps troubled teens.
Turn
to Aladdin and was an example to the other girls.
Are you glad you went?
Yeah.
Do you think it'll help you long term?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what you want to do long term?
I want to be a nurse.
And what about the anti-bullying? Explain to him, what were people contacting you on Instagram?
Bullied. How do you have that voice? How do you, the way you said that, all this stuff to Dr. Phil, how you did all that stuff.
You've gotten a lot of tension on the internet since you were here. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Both.
What's good about it?
Well, I guess what's good for you is I made you just like how Oprah made you. You were nothing before I came on this show.
Thank you for that.
I mean, what this kid, what she really needs is to be told that she's out of her box and to shut up. And she needs some stern discipline from her parents. You know, there are so many kids like this, and I wish Dr. Phil would say it, because no one is anymore. No one says those things, because it's not considered very PC. Mm. Mubs, if you'd spoken to your dad like she speaks to Dr. Phil, your dad would have gone to the cupboard and got the belt, and that would have been the end of your talking back to your dad. And I'm not saying that physical violence is always the best way to go here, but nobody talks to children like children anymore. They all want to be friends with children.
Mm.
That's how you end up with Danielle's.
And the mere fact that she was on the Dr. Phil show was because her mother brought her on saying, like, "Oh, I can't control my child."
That's the problem. Mummy dearest, you don't know how to handle your own daughter. For you to have to abdicate that responsibility to bald old Dr. Phil is kind of sad. I mean, it's abject failure. What you've got to admit, honey, this is the mother now, is that you have failed. You have failed, and now you've brought a cretin into the world who's going to make everyone's lives a little bit more complicated.
You're going to pursue kind of a internet image?
Yeah, I guess so.
As long as it doesn't interfere with who you really are.
Of course.
You spent all day yesterday doing a shoot with the Pizza Slime blog. Yeah. Is that fun for you?
pizza slime. That's like an Instagram account. She her biggest claim to fame since being a Dr. Phil, who she says she made, is to be on Pizza Slime's Instagram page. Pizza Slime. Well done. Danielle, you're a hero. I can understand why so many kids want to be like you.
See, I told your mom, I think it's fun. It's great to have fun. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Phil's so out of ammo at this point. He's like, I can't help you. I'm just going to go along with this thing. As long as you're being you, you know, live your best life, honey. That's what Phil's basically saying. Woohoo! Another great example.
As long as you do the other things too.
You have to admit, he helped you a lot. If it wasn't for Dr.
If it wasn't for his money, you can't say it wasn't for him. If it wasn't for him and his people, I would have been the way
so
I am.
How did you get there?
Okay, it was his money, it wasn't him.
No, of course it was him. Of course it was him.
I could have paid for it myself.
You think so?
You could have paid for it yourself. Because you're 13 and you got a huge bank account. And your labor is really valuable.
If it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for Dr. Phil, listen, Dr. Phil could have probably sent you anywhere in the United States. He knows places all, you think he sends every kid to a turnabout?
Is this the mother?
Yeah.
No, he don't. There's many places he could have sent you to. He picked turnabout for a reason. You have to say thank you. You have to say at least thank you, because he did it.
Thank you.
Dr. Phil, thank you very much.
Dr. Phil, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was good to see you again. We're going to take a break.
Are you kidding, Phil? You're not thrilled to see her again. You see, this is what drives me mad. It's like he should have said, I hate bringing you back, but we're doing it for ratings. You little troll.
Now get off my set.
Yeah, get off my set and I never want to see you again. Go back to that ranch and shovel shit for the rest of your life, because that's probably the most valuable job you'll ever have.
See, this kid needs my grandmother.
What would she have done? What would your grandmother have done?
Goodness.
Tell me.
You know, starts off with the one line of, I've brought you into this world and I can take you out.
Your grand used to say that?
Like, that's the iconic go-to line for any black woman, really. Any angry mother in general. Just, you know.
So shy away.
Yeah, take you into her house so that she wakes you up extremely, extremely early. Then she'll make you clean her house, make her breakfast, you know, because it's her castle.
Right.
Yeah, just the basics. Absolutely essential.
Get into your box.
Cash me outside.
Yeah.
How about that?
Because your grandmother would, and she would win.
She would catch you out.
Catch you outside by your hair. Is what she would
do. Which does beg the question, what's her record outside? Is it good? Does she normally come out on top?
I don't know.
Does she know how things work?
Anyway, I mean, I suppose people like that make the rest of us realize that we're okay. So we shouldn't be too personal about it. But I do love seeing idiots put in their place. And in her case, it took a ranch and a couple of horses for her to realize that she's insignificant. And good for Dr. Phil.
The mere fact that there's a what? A turnaround. Ranch.
Yeah, I admire that Dr. Phil. I really admire that Dr. Phil didn't lose his mind and, like, lash out at her. He was like, well, you know, if that makes you feel better, you got to be you. Because being you is so important when you is a total douchebag. Rather be someone else.
Well, and I guess it's like talking to a brick wall, though. It's like, she's not at the point where she's going to be receptive to this.
Exactly. Balesa, will you just let me know when the Gad Sad interview is up here so I know exactly how much time we've got? Yeah, I just need to figure that out. All right, Mubs, you got anything else you want to throw in here quickly?
Yes, I do. So, naming and shaming, right? Everybody loves the concept of naming and shaming, especially when you've done something wrong, because people feel like, you must be publicly humiliated.
Sure.
So the city of Cape Town yesterday, they released a list of the top 100 water consumers in the city. Because, you know, the city of Cape Town has been warning you, saying you need to cut down on your water. Evidently, nobody has been listening. So Mayor Patricia de Lille decided that, well, if you cannot control, if you cannot limit your water usage, just as we've instructed you to do, then we are going to name and shame you.
Okay, so what, are they going to have a website and they're going to
put
pictures up? Well,
no, they released a list, Gareth. It's already out there for the world to see, of the top 100 users with the highest water usage per month. Now, they don't actually name the people in terms of giving a name and surname, but they did release their address. Now, I'm all for naming and shaming, but can you just release people's information like that?
Sure.
Can you?
Well, I mean, they do it with sex offenders. Why not do it with water offenders?
Yeah, but I mean, sex offenders are terrible human beings.
So are water offenders.
No, they're not terrible human beings.
They are terrible.
They're not terrible.
They are terrible. They're a law unto themselves. They are
not
terrible.
They have not... No, guys, come on. So people's addresses are out there for the world to see, which means that anybody with nefarious... you know, nefarious, like, interests, could look up an address and be like, let me go check out that house and see.
Let me explain it this way. Like, Penny Sparrow said some things that hurt people's feelings.
Yes.
But she didn't actually hurt people physically and take away their water.
Yeah.
But she had her address and her name and her reputation put online. And
which people criticized, and they said, sure, you can't do that.
And they went to a place of work and everything else.
People were calling her.
Yeah, people were phoning her at midnight. And, we're going to come and rape your daughter or whatever it was. So there was some pretty hard blowback against her.
Sure.
Just for saying some things that are offensive and thinking things that are bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're actually wasting the water that could end up drying up the Western Cape, it could result in some people not having access to any clean water, like the whole province, because of you being greedy and watering your lawn. I reckon they can publish your address. People can go and graffiti your walls. I'm just saying.
You know what? I reckon that is very hypocritical of you. Because if you suddenly discovered that your address was published somewhere out there for the world to see, I'm pretty sure you would feel differently about it.
I'll meet you. Cash me outside. How about that?
Cash me outside. Cash me.
So, you can go onto the internet. You can do a search. Find out if your address is there.
Wow.
I don't know, guys. Ooh. But, yes, there's a list of the top 100 people who, according to the mayor, just misusing water. But
please.
This is my other problem, is everybody in Cape Town is not being responsible with your water usage. So they go for the top 100.
Well,
but it doesn't mean that the top 100 are doing the most damage. All of you are doing the damage, damn it.
Well, the top 100 are doing the most damage.
The most, but like number 101 is still doing damage.
Yes, but
it's still
one.
It's still not being responsible.
101 is going to be scared straight now,
yeah,
and everything will be okay because the top 100 are going to get ripped over the coals for this.
Basically, what the city of Cape Town is saying is, cash me outside.
Okay. Yeah. Look, I don't like anyone's details being published on the internet. I mean, to me, this is just silly. I was drawing the comparison because I don't think it helps. I don't think people care enough to go and line up outside someone's house because they're the biggest water waster in Cape Town. Because people don't care.
But they should, though, because this whole water wasting thing is just... It's not on. It really isn't.
I agree.
It's a crime, Gareth.
But I don't like the idea of people's addresses and people's personal information being put out there. I just think that it's wrong. You should be the one. You know, we get this Protection of Personal Information Act, this POPI Act in South Africa, which makes it illegal for people to put you on spam lists and that kind of thing. Now, that is legally protected. You're telling me that the city of Cape Town has the right to just throw out all your details? I don't think that's right. Let's either pretend personal information matters or not. But we can't suddenly suspend the rules because someone's using up too much of the dam.
It can't be okay sometimes, but not okay others.
Correct. So, you know what? Decide. What is the law? The law says you can't publish people's personal information without their permission.
You see, but here's the thing. It's just their address. It doesn't say...
Yeah, but that's all anybody with nefarious means needs is an address.
All you need is one crazy who turns on their tap and goes, oh, it's that person on number one Ballyclare Drive. I'm going to their house this week.
And if it's a road away from
exactly.
Best believe
I mean, somebody could decide to pick Sia's address off the internet and then they drive there and then they're watching and observing Sia, monitoring your patterns, following you around. Like, that's all you need is somebody's address.
It's okay. Not on.
Is this an extreme way to behave? Yes. But is it all the time we accept that this is an extreme situation?
No, Sia. You can't suspend...
The water situation.
You
isn't
can't,
extreme?
You sound like George W. Bush suspending habeas corpus. You can't change the rules to suit you at a time that you want to make the rules work for you.
But and nothing then it, else and is working.
When it doesn't work for you, then you're going to suddenly go, oh, no, these rules are wrong.
How do we deal with this, though, then?
Everybody's the same. If you break the rules, the city of Cape Town fine you. There's no reason for them to publish and publicize your name. Come on. That's childish. Make them pay. The only way you make anything work is if you hit people in the wallet.
Yeah,
you hit them in the wallet. And if they still carry on, then they must pay for that privilege. It's like people who speed. If they think they can get away with speeding, just keep fining them. Then they can fund you. And these guys can fund the big desalination plant one day with all their fines.
That's a good point.
Don't break the rules. Come on. Let's all stick to the rules.
Well, there's a good solution, Gareth.
Yeah, then we send you an invoice through the mail, and then mail takes 3 months.
It doesn't matter.
And then
Sia,
you don't have
Sia,
a...
if I don't pay my municipal water tomorrow, tomorrow's the 1st of March. If I haven't paid it by the end of February, they cut me off. The same can happen in Cape Town. I mean, we hear the DA saying how well they've got their systems working in Cape Town. So if you've got your systems working so well, cut the guys off if they haven't paid.
Actually, to me, that would be a much better solution. The city of Cape Town is saying you are not being responsible with your water use. Then cut them off the supply. Then don't give them water.
This is like sending out an invitation to lynch mobs and saying to them, all right, well, we can't run things. We're the city of Cape Town. We can't run things properly. So we're going to put this person's information out there and you deal with it. Gang mentality, crowd mob, lunatic asylum. You deal with this. Because, of course, we trust kangaroo courts more than we trust the municipality. That's what they're saying. I don't like it at all.
Huh, okay. I hear you.
Don't let the mob must never make a decision. The ability, the wisdom of a mob is inversely proportional to the number of people in it.
The wisdom. Ah, okay. The more they are, the less they are.
The less wise they are.
Got to.
Don't let the mob make decisions, please. We'll all regret the consequences, even if it's people we really don't like this time. Because the next time, it could be you.
It could be you.
And I'm
willing to bet that suddenly you will feel differently about your information being out there.
Sure.
But then doesn't this change the game as well?
Sangweni. This is his registration number. This is where he lives. Go and deal with him.
Doesn't this change it as well? The fact that it's the street name. It's not specifically number two.
No, it's the full address. It's number 51 da-da-da-da-da street, name of the suburb. It's the full address.
Don't do it, people. Don't fall for this stuff because it suits you this time. Carl says, water in Cape Town. They only published the street names where the offenders live, not the number.
No, I'm looking at a list with the full address.
That's okay. The ranking.
Well, there we go.
Number
so,
one,
so
this
Carl,
is the worst on
Carl,
Hayward Road.
Carl, we've got different information here. Apparently, Hoff Street was named.
Hoff Street.
Helen Ziller lives in Hoff Street, the Premier's mansion.
Really? You see now people already drawing their own conclusions.
Premier's mansion's on that road. Michelle says, fantastic. I'm glad they're getting shamed. I shower in a bucket. I take extreme measures to save water. These are idiots, she says, that must learn the hard way, Michelle. Well, Michelle, you work in an aquarium. You know how much water you waste in that aquarium?
Oh.
If people want to say that maybe we should save water, maybe the fish should all die. And we should save the water in the aquarium. Come on, Michelle, do you really want that to be the argument?
All right, so Hoff Street is number 27 on the list of 100. So that's where...
It's probably Helen. Oh, my rhododendrons. Come on. Are you
322,000 liters. That's what they went through. But guys, so like, since I'm going to Cape Town today...
And just don't shower.
We know that Sia loves
don't even drink
the
water.
Bath,
no,
though.
Don't do it.
Yeah, you can't.
Don't
You'll
do
be
it.
On this list for in 2 days.
Worse, because it's not your water because you're from Gauteng.
Yeah. And then you
it's
will.
Not your water.
And then you will know what the mob is like because they will pitch up at your hotel room.
I'll be out of there by Sunday.
They'll find you. Cape Townians are... carrying their pitchforks and their flaming torches, and they're coming for you.
They'll find me in like my candlelit
they will
bath,
find you.
Rose petal.
They will
drown you in that.
They will pull you out of your herb-infused foam bath.
Ylang-ylang seduction session.
Ylang-ylang. And they will string you up from the top of the hotel and garrote you. So forget about it, okay?
You're dying, dripping in ylang-ylang, and that's it. That's your
Imagine. Your end will be in a bath of ylang ylang.
That's how my life.
All right, everybody, listen, we're out of here because I'm going to leave you in the company of Gad Saad in an interview we recorded just a couple of days ago. Oh, right. I've got to quickly tell you this before we go. Thank you for the reminder, Sia. Sia's keeping me on track this morning. Just in case you don't know, if you're a creative, an outspoken street artist, or a dash of full color at Nedbank, they don't expect you to be an expert in banking, too. Money is a gray area, especially for independent artists, and there's an incredible freedom in looking at money differently. What am I talking about? Well, the boundaries that come with a more traditional approach to money no longer exist, and they can't hold you back anymore. Come and experience Nedbank's Reimagination Project, an initiative aimed at demonstrating how, when money is well managed, it can make a real difference in people's lives. At Design Indaba, from the 1st until the 3rd of March 2017, they will be talking to some of Nedbank's representatives and thought leaders right here on cliffcentral.com to share more about how to explore the potential of money with the Nedbank Reimagination Project. Join us and let's all reimagine, shall we? That's cliffcentral.com and Nedbank at the Design Indaba 2017. Sia will be there live tomorrow morning. Here's the interview with Gad Saad that I recorded last week. An interesting guy with an interesting life story, and more importantly, really, really interesting opinions about how the world works. Take a listen to this, and remember, we'd love to have your feedback on all of this, and if you've got suggestions of people you'd like us to talk to, then send them to gareth@cliffcentral.com. On a Tuesday morning, here's an exclusive CliffCentral.com interview. CliffCentral.com.